Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here, Dirt and Sprague, on a Football Friday edition, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. YouTube.com/1051FM The Fan, the Odyssey app, and if you so choose, 1080 AM.
We're still there.
Dial.
Still standing, baby.
Still standing on the old dial. A lot to get to here in the second hour. Most of the first hour was NFL conversation. So we'll get back into the NFL at some point during the show. We'll talk NFL with Jeff Howe at 8:15. He is a national NFL writer for The Athletic. So we'll talk more NFL with him for the Daily Ticker, which will be at 8:15. It is a Sprague and Line Friday.
Yes, it is.
I am on a real losing streak here, boys. I cannot get right whatsoever, so fade everything I'm going to give you today.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I went 0-3 last week, so, you know, forward progress. Bye-bye!
Not being on social media has hurt me in some little ways. It also pays off that half the time I forget what your picks are, so I don't check. And I'm like, I think he did pretty good this weekend.
No, we did not do good last weekend. No, okay. Lions didn't cover. No, the over in Dallas and Cardinals didn't happen. What was my other? I don't even remember.
Did you do New England Atlanta? That was the one I wasn't
sure about.
Yes,
yeah, okay. New England led by 10 the entire game, gave up the late score, and then, of course, the PAT screwed me because when they missed the PAT, New England was just going to go into milk the clock mode, and they didn't need to score at the end of the game. So, you know, that was cool.
But we'll get to that coming up at 9:30. You can send your Sprague and Line sponsors in and any and all thoughts at 503-864-6326. That's what we like to call the fan text line on a Friday morning. I hope everybody's doing well out there. We'll kick the second hour off with Kinnick Stadium.
It's here.
The long-awaited, the much-anticipated Oregon, Iowa. The Dolphin will be on the call.
The Dolphin's calling the game.
Jerry Allen will be on the call.
That's right.
Dusty, the brand man hair on the sidelines.
It's probably en route to Eugene. I don't know what time they're flying out, but they're flying out at some point today.
Well, so I want to bring something up about this game because we've talked some about this. We interviewed multiple guests. We've gotten their thoughts on it. I want to play a cut from one of our guests, and I know that you're sitting in pucker factor territory today.
Sure, every week.
I have found a common theme for both the Iowa and Oregon sides of things here. And that seems to be, we need to expose these frauds. And it seems to be, I am worried about this. And that is the Oregon linebackers, Bob.
Yeah.
The Iowa side of things is very loud of their linebackers suck. We can do this. And the other side seems to be, both online and in person, oh, my God, I don't feel good about our linebacker situation. Now, I know you've been screaming about this. Other people have been screaming about this. And so it seems to be the common thing of it could come down to the ball's wet and it slips out of somebody's hand. It could come down to a punt return.
That very well could.
It also could come down to, hey, Iowa was able to open enough gaps and Oregon's linebackers were not good at filling those holes and slowing the Iowa run game down. Where of the most concerning things going in from the Oregon side is Oregon's linebacker play?
I mean, it's pretty high up there. I don't think they're great at fitting run gaps, and they have struggled at times this year. I don't know how many times in short yardage situations they've been able to come up with a big stop. There's been a couple of moments where they've been in the right hole at the right time, and they've gotten run over. So it's not necessarily a positional strength for them. I think that adds a couple of caveats, and that is it makes it a massive game for Oregon's defensive line to make sure that they're eating up blocks and not allowing Iowa's offensive line to get to the second level. I think you're legitimately looking at, you know, who knows how to actually quantify best, but you're looking at one of the best offensive lines in all of college football this weekend in Iowa. When you look at every grading metric and Pro Football Focus, and, you know, I don't dive too much into analytics, but almost every outlet you go look up has Iowa ranked as one of, if not the best offensive lines in the entire sport. So it really puts a lot of pressure on your defensive line to eat up blocks, not allow guys to get to the second level so your linebackers can come downhill. And then the other thing I'll add to it, and Oregon has used this at times this year, not every game, but it's always opponent determined, and that is that Dylan Thienemann is a he's almost a version of a linebacker at safety. He's a very physical player.
He likes Jamal Adams type.
Yes, he likes playing downhill. He likes fitting the run game. He likes setting the edge. He likes being an extra hat in the box. And so he would be the other guy that I would circle. And so I do think linebacker is the biggest weakness of your defense. But do you have enough help around them where it does not end up being the glaring weakness that loses you the football game?
Is there a more concerning area for the game than that for you?
The more concerning area, I'm not that concerned about Oregon's defense, to be honest with you. I just am not.
It's the offense.
Yeah. It's the offensive line?
Yeah, it's the offensive line.
It's Dante Moore getting into a rhythm. I think they have been an offense at times this year. They've shown you when they can get off to a fast start and kind of start feeling that rhythm and the flow of the game that they can be incredibly difficult to stop, and Will Stein gets into his bag and the defense has no clue what's coming. And then there's other times where you bog them down and you just kind of keep them stuck in neutral for a long stretch of the football game, and they never really find that rhythm until either it's too late or the opponent is bad enough where it doesn't really matter, and they pull away with the win a la the Wisconsin game. And so the bigger concern for me significantly is on the other side of the ball, and what can Oregon's offense do? They have not scored an opening drive touchdown since Oregon State in a game. That was a long time ago that the Civil War happened. We're talking about September.
I feel like I should know that, and that just kind of blew my mind hearing
that
out
loud. They have not scored a touchdown on an opening drive since that game. That was the last time they did it. And so that to me is the biggest thing that I circle in this game. Yeah, linebacker play is a concern. It will be a concern going forward, especially when you're playing these physical teams that are going to run the football a ton.
Yeah.
But my bigger, like, if Oregon's offense shows up, that's a moot point. If Oregon's offense is, you know, struggling and not having any consistent success, especially early in the game, then the linebacker issue becomes a glaring weakness.
Well, every Thursday at 7:40, it's a Pate State University Thursday. We asked him yesterday on Oregon at Iowa, and this was his thoughts on the matchup.
All right, I'm terrified. I am not well. I don't feel great about it. I don't think anyone should feel great about it because it's Iowa City in November. So it's not a place where you're supposed to feel great at any point this month, but especially when it's raining and cold. So I've tried to do the reverse psychology thing all week for the sake of Oregon, and I tried to emphasize that. And I tried to talk about how much this is going to be Iowa's game and you got to go play Iowa's game better than they do. I was talking to Will and Taylor on their show yesterday. I said, hey, this isn't a street race. This is a dirt track game. You got to bring your dirt track car. Don't try and bring a street car into the dirt track. And so you're just trying to push every button possible on a Dan Lanning team to where you, number one, you make it into the hype video for the greater good of the program. And number two, you make them realize that, hey, we lead the country in explosive runs. That's us. Now, the flip side of that coin is Iowa's given up one of those all year. So I leaned Oregon to win it, but I think even a win, it just looks pretty hideous this weekend.
It certainly could be the game dirt that you mentioned of, like, if the offensive line is going to struggle to get a push and the run game's going to be kind of neutered, then, yeah, you're probably in for a dogfight, a long day, a potential upset. There's no doubt about that. And look, they could lose at Iowa. None of us are dismissing the idea of it.
No.
You know what I was thinking about yesterday? I'm more kind of curious how many teams – I want people to think about this a little bit. They didn't need him against Wisconsin. How many programs at the Oregon level don't put their quarterback in, but then in the postgame say he's totally good? And you know, again, they didn't need him. It's Wisconsin. Wisconsin has no offense to speak of. They scored a touchdown in garbage time, and it was a monsoon pissing rain. I found that a little interesting. It was something I thought about yesterday of, like, We did talk about it, and then we kind of got into the backup quarterback conversation that for some reason is still a thing for Duck fan. And I more thought, like, yesterday, would Arch not go back in a kind of a low-scoring affair, even if it's just largely to hand the football off? How many starting quarterbacks are not put back in if in the postgame the coach is like, no, he was totally fine? Like, and we saw him on the sidelines. He wasn't bleeding anymore.
No, he had a jacket on, was just hanging out.
Yeah, there's no broken nose. Like, he's going to start this game.
As far as we know, I don't think he broke his nose, but yeah, I don't know if they ever clarified that.
Yeah, touche. They don't clarify all their injury stuff, but... like, for all we know, he's going to start. Everything's totally
fine. Yeah, he's playing this week. Yeah, so there's just, no
like,
issue.
I'm not suggesting even that they're, like, worried about him, quote-unquote. I just thought that was interesting to think about of, like, he just didn't come back in, and they said he was A-OK. And that's how many programs would choose to do that?
Yeah,
it's a very unique situation. So I am curious about Dante's weekend going into Kinnick.
It's a huge game for him, man. I think of all the guys that you're watching this weekend, he is the most important one to the game. Gronowski is a really good athlete. He's a really fun story. He was an FCS Heisman. He has 4 passing touchdowns on the year and has yet to throw for 200 yards in a game. you should have a massive advantage throwing the football. Now, maybe weather completely wipes that out, and it's so nasty and gross that you can't get any separation, and you can get a little grabby if you're in the Iowa secondary because there's slush on the field, if you will, and you're not going to get whistled, and so it just kind of neuters your entire passing game. That very well could be the reality we're living in tomorrow. But we also kind of said that going into Wisconsin, and then in the first half it was what? I know it was windy, but it ended up being dry until the monsoon came near the end of the first half, and then for the rest of the game. And so this is just a forecast. If the game ends up being okay weather-wise...
It actually looks like... I'm looking at it right now, and it says it's going to be 50% chance of rain. Light rain is described, and wind 10 miles an hour.
That's not terrible.
If that's your weather, you should be able to do your offense.
The advantage that you have, the biggest one in this game, is throwing the football, and it should be. And so I think Dante's the first guy that you circle and say, he's got to play well. And if he plays well, like if Dante Moore has a good game, if I tell you right now his stat line is 19 of 25, 275 yards, 3 touchdowns and no picks. Is Oregon losing the game in your mind?
No.
Right?
No. If you're able to establish that part of it, I would assume your run game's okay, too.
That's the unique thing about... So, a couple of caveats, or not caveats, but carryover over on this.
Can you hold that?
You mean put a pin in it?
I want you to put a... Yes.
I'm just getting going, man. I'm just getting rolling.
You know what's funny?
My juices are flowing.
Pause.
Okay, fine.
I can feel it.
You can feel my momentum?
I can. Well, I feel what you're putting out right now.
I like this.
I know you're feeling a little good about this. You're going to give us some good stats.
Chef Dirt's cooking.
Swag, that makes me excited because I come in Friday half the time and I'm like, what's he going to not give me wait for Anthony Newman for on Saturday?
I mean, Anthony Newman's an Oregon legend. I got to save a couple of nuggies for him.
Are you going anywhere Saturday morning?
I'm going to be at Grand Central Bowl tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. What time?
With Anthony Newman at 8 a.m.
Oh,
come say what up. Do they got a game tonight? I'm assuming they got a game tonight.
Yeah. It's the first round of the playoffs.
I didn't know if there were byes.
They got Roosevelt.
Oh, God.
Roosevelt won the PIL for the first time in a long time.
So they got a dirt on their hands is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Cleveland, 1947, 2006.
I'm going to guess his nickname's not dirt.
Check the banners. It could be. You never know. I just would like to, can we put a little prayer up in the air for Roosevelt tonight?
Well.
Just Godspeed.
Same with West Salem.
Godspeed.
Nelson's
the number
Knox.
2 seed.
Oh, yeah.
We could have a Sprague v. Anthony Newman showdown in the state titles.
I'm not coaching.
I mean, you're a part of it. You're in the Nelson family.
Yeah, I am.
Bring him on.
That's true. That's true.
You're a Nelson guy.
My nephew's kind of on the team.
He's on the team.
My nephew doesn't go to the practices. He's about to have surgery because he has a knee thing. He hasn't really played all year. Weirdly, says he's on the team, but kind of not. I don't know how to describe it to people. He's a part of the program?
You're part of the program.
Part of the program.
If they win, he'll get a ring.
Jaleel Florence before the portal.
Okay.
He's there.
He hasn't transferred yet.
No.
He's got the sweatsuit.
He doesn't plan to transfer.
No, he's not going anywhere.
No.
He's on the team. He's a part of the team.
Okay.
That counts.
All right.
That's a count.
Well, yeah, you better watch out, Anthony Newman.
Look out, head on a swivel.
It was Nelson Hawks.
God, that's going to be 70-0 at halftime tonight.
Why would you say that?
Shout out to my PIL brethren. I just know how those games go. That's... West Lynn is a wagon.
Roosevelt, Park Rose of the PIL. Look at them winning a title.
Yeah, look at that. Good stuff.
All right, carry over your stats that you were going to give me.
I got more stats.
And then also, Dan Lanning is on my side again. He's anti-dirt on something. So we'll get to that coming up next. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We will Sprague the Line today, so you can get those Sprague the Line sponsors in at 503-864-6326. It's usually about how awful I am at gambling or just in general as a human. I got to admit, I will be massively disappointed if somebody else on this show is not leading the charge in Sprague and Line sponsors.
Ooh.
And it's fairly obvious who.
It's definitely not me off of an 0-3 weekend. I'm riding a heater, baby.
I don't even care that you're 0-3. I'm not talking about you either.
Oh, okay.
There was a pretty big moment that happened in sports.
What happened? Nothing big happened this last week. There's nothing major going on. What are you talking about?
The crazy thing is, I bet you Swag has scheduled to sit down and watch Oregon State Sam Houston live.
Can't miss that game. You throw the records out when they face each other. Yeah, you do. That was a funny note from Landon yesterday saying, got home just in time Saturday to watch the end of the World Series game.
Yes.
And he was, this is the only two innings of baseball I watched all year. He picked two pretty good innings to watch.
I liked that they pressed him, Isaac Itsuki. He's like, I mean, they're great. Part of their season's happening during my season. I'm not watching baseball.
I'm surprised he doesn't turn on a game in like the middle of July. Downtime, you're sitting around, you're barbecuing, you got a stogie, you're not turning on a Royals game every now and then.
He's on vacation and doesn't care about baseball.
Checks out completely from sports. I get it.
Yeah. I think that's what he does. Yeah. And also, something happening down in Corvallis. We'll get to a little coaching note from Pate. There's a real push for something, and I do want to know, like, do you put whatever you're feeling aside for this? We'll talk about that today. Also, is this conference going to play themselves out of the playoff? Or are we going to get multiple teams from this situation?
Interesting.
But we were talking about Oregon, and you were going to give me some numbers. So I'm a little Dante Moore. I'm curious where Duck fans are at on Dante Moore. I know he had the Rutgers game, but it kind of feels like really since Dan Lanning proclaimed him the best quarterback in college football, it's not really gone amazingly for him.
Yeah, only three games, but yeah.
But, you know, he's coming in, and I know he sat out from the nosebleed against Wisconsin, and they didn't need him to be Dante Moore.
Sure.
I thought about it yesterday. I thought it was a little odd how many programs of that caliber don't put their quarterback back in, even if it's just to hand the ball off. So now he goes into Kinnick. It's a big, massive weekend. The weather looks like it might be turning in a positive direction. It's just a preview, you know, projection of what the weather could be. So there might be a chance for him to open up the passing game more than we thought maybe going into it. You had numbers that you wanted to throw out.
I think one of the things that we went back to, when Oregon lost to Indiana, there were a couple of things that I circled out of that game, and I remember talking about the Monday after. One of them was you had one of the best targets on the field, and he didn't get a single look the entire first half, and that was Kenyon Sadiq. Kenyon Sadiq has kind of disappeared from this offense. And it's funny when we talk about Oregon's linebackers being maybe the weakness of their defense, and it's not necessarily a knock to say that they suck. Maybe part of it is they're really good at every other level, and it just that makes them look like more of a weakness. I definitely put some validity in that. But Iowa fan would tell you the same thing. Their weakness, and we talked to Gary Dolphin yesterday. What did he tell us about their defense? Their linebackers are their issue. So you have an opportunity to match up Kenyon Sadiq, who is a weapon unlike anything, in my opinion, that Iowa has. I know Wiegand is a very good special teams player. But he can be a man amongst boys at times. And you get him single coverage against a linebacker or sitting down in certain zone looks. That should be an advantage for you to get him the ball early and get him the ball often because we know how special he could be. But the other thing we talked about in the aftermath of that loss to Indiana was they kind of lost their way and their identity offensively. When you go back and look, I think Indiana's got a very good defense. Would we agree on that?
Mm-hmm.
Very stout up front. The front seven is solid, right?
Yep.
Oregon in that game, now this was affected because of sack yardage, and Dante Moore lost 30 yards in sack yardage. Jordan Davison in that game had 8 carries for 59 yards. That's 7.4 yards per carry. Noah Whittington had 5 carries for 27 yards. That's 5.4 yards per carry. And Jaden Lamar, who will not be playing this weekend, had 3 carries for 17 yards. That's 5.7 yards per carry. They showed you that they could run it. They just didn't. They kind of lost their way, and they got into their own heads a little bit, and they struggled, and they were looking for, you know, certain plays to start a drive, and it wasn't happening for them. Mm-hmm. And I think they only ran the ball. Maybe 6 or 7 times the entire second half. It was ridiculous. And so I think that's something that I would circle of. Oregon has shown me against good defenses that they can find ways to run the football. And so that's not necessarily a big concern of mine. The other part of it that I would add is Iowa's defense, we give a ton of credit to. Kirk Ferentz has been, you know, doing this for 20 years, right? We know it's good, what kind of game they're going to play, and they don't allow big plays. They don't allow explosive plays. When you go look at some of their matchups against teams with competent offenses, that's the hard part when you're recapping games in the Big Ten. Oregon is this way, right? Are we taking anything away defensively of what Oregon did to Wisconsin? No, Wisconsin might have the worst offense in all of college football. Literally, of every team that plays, they might be the worst. When you go back and look at the Rutgers game, for example, they won 38-28. Cali Ekmanis and Rutgers have a good passing attack. You know what he did in that game? He threw for, give me a second, 330 yards on him. Now, it was in Rutgers. Different setting. It was a Friday night. It wasn't at home. It wasn't a blackout game.
That was a high-scoring game, wasn't it?
It was 38-28. It hit the over in the first half. 14-14 at the end of the first quarter, right? You go to the Mendoza game where Indiana went in there. No, they didn't light the world on fire, but he threw for like 250 and 2 TDs, and Elijah Surratt had 150 yards on him, and he's a better receiver probably than anything Oregon has to offer.
Sure.
But that's just, those are the little things that I lean on of like Indiana, or excuse me, Iowa's a defense the last couple of weeks. They played Wisconsin, Penn State, and Minnesota. Those are their last three teams. Do any of them have a passing attack that's comparable to what Oregon can bring to the table?
No.
The answer is no, right? And so can Dante get into a rhythm early in the game? Can Dante feel comfortable early in the game? If he does, I think it changes the outlook immediately in the first quarter.
So I looked up Sadiq's numbers. Right now, Kenyon Sadiq on the season has 22 catches for 311 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I went and looked at Ferguson's numbers because I was curious, and I know it took him a long time to get a touchdown last season.
It did.
Season.
They tried to make it happen, and it did not work out. Every time they tried to throw it to him in the red zone, it did not work.
43 catches, 591, and he ended up with 3. Sadiq has more touchdowns, and I understand how massively important he is in the running game. By the way, every Oregon running back, all the Oregon running backs combined are averaging 4 yards after contact.
Yeah.
So big bruising, strong backs that you have back there, and Sadiq is a big part of the running attack. Do you like the way he's been used this season?
Not at all.
Like, were you expecting more so far? Okay.
I mean, he was baby Brock Bowers a year ago, and he was up and coming. I didn't expect that last year. You watch him and you see him seeing him in person, I can't even describe how.
I mean, on TV, it's just like the same takeaway on TV.
God, like, how is that possible?
How does he not get the ball every other play?
Of course, that's disappointing.
I know.
You have one of your biggest games of the year in the Indiana game. And again, I just highlighted this. He didn't have a single target in the first half. Not one time. And
that's the Chip Kelly. How come you don't just throw it up to Jeremiah Smith? Like, how do you not just like design, throw it to him?
And what did they do the first play of the second half? Play action boot, throw it to Kenyon Sadiq. Because they knew it. They went into the locker room and thought, oh, damn it, we didn't give him the ball once? All right, let's design some looks for him. He's too big of a player. He's too big of a difference maker in your offense to not give him 4 to 5 targets a half. And Will Stein's philosophy offensively is to get the dudes the ball and get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Get elite athletes, give them the football, and let them go cook. And so if you're not even giving him the opportunity, it's one thing if you're trying to throw him the ball early in the game and he's showing, I got brick hands today and I'm not catching anything, then it's different. You might have to go away from it. But to not give him a target in one of your biggest games of the year, an entire half at home, that's inexcusable. That should be a matchup that could be a difference maker tomorrow.
So we had Dan Lanning once basically agree with me and be against you, and we have it again.
Okay.
I'm sorry to do this to you.
What did he do now?
Well, Dan Lanning is on with Isaac and Suk every Thursday at 4 o'clock.
Yes, he is.
And he is on Team Sprague here, and he's anti-dirt.
Speaking of baseball, do you know much about this banana ball stuff going on in Savannah?
Oh, yeah, dude. It's like sweeping the country.
You know they're coming out to Eugene next year.
Yeah.
So I was flipping through a documentary last night with my boys, and we were watching a little bit of it. It's pretty impressive, man. It's pretty cool.
Big Savannah banana fan, that Dan Lanning. He's excited about the bananas coming to Autzen Stadium.
He wants to be in the game. I don't blame him. He wants to get the invite to go
play some
first base. It's the middle of the summer. He's got nothing going on. You know he's going to be involved in that somehow. I'm sure it'll be a sellout.
If Dan Lanning doesn't have a glove and is hip thrusting with the team before a pitch,
they will have missed the mark here.
Or get him a pool to jump into. Can he jump, like, put a little inflatable pool that he can jump
into?
That's
only for five stars.
It could be a five star on the Bananas roster. I don't know.
Well, I thought it was a sneaky good. I think it was, it might have been Souk that said basically, like, Nike has to create a Savannah Banana something,
you know that they
right?
Will. You know that they will. Look, I get it being a big deal in person. Did you want to go take your kids? Totally understand.
They're selling out stadiums, dude.
Get it off my ESPN. I want to watch real sports.
Well, it is off your ESPN.
It's on TNT or TBS or something.
No, I just don't have ESPN anymore currently, so I can't watch the Savannah Bananas.
I saw a poll basically showing a lot of people are like me right now. We're holding the line.
It's been really strong. They're going to cave at some point.
I will probably either buy a day pass from Sling this weekend for $5 or I will cave.
Monday night's a big game. But you got a Dantana, so you can watch the Monday night game on it. Let me check and see if it's an ABC game.
All Monday night games, I think, are both ABC.
Not all of them. No.
They're not?
That's why last week was such an alarming thing, was they had it on ABC and the numbers were still lower. They were down, I want to say, 20% year to date.
It is ABC and ESPN this
week. So you can watch it this week.
Are you guys sure not everyone is?
100% positive.
I thought they had announced they had switched that back to being both.
That's why the numbers for the Cowboy game were jarring, because one, it's the Cowboys and they always rate well, and it was an ABC simulcast game and the numbers were, I think they did a year to date of where that game was last year and it was down something like 20%.
Jeez.
And ESPN tried to brag about how good their numbers were, and everybody's like, this is down from last year, you morons.
Just get on board and have fun with your baseball. Hip thrust a little bit. Do some backflips.
You want to take the kids. I get it. I don't want to see. It's not real sports. Get it off TV. Put it on the Ocho. That's fine.
Dusty has a real run right now of pretending he's not getting any perks being the sideline guy, and I'm enjoying it. Like, 2 weeks ago, it was, you getting any of that Grateful Dead stuff?
No.
We're not allowed to.
No.
And then he comes in. Rocking Grateful Dead. Yeah, last minute. And then he was asked, are you going to get any tickets to the banana game? No. They don't hook it up. I promise you, him and his family will
be hanging out on
game.
The field.
I promise you.
Be sitting
you.
In the first base dugout. Is that what you're telling
he
me?
He likes to downplay the connections he's established here as the sideline guy for Oregon, brand man.
Look, it's all great. It's entertaining. Not real sports.
Hip thrusting.
Yep. Double pump.
Do it in the World Series. 18th inning.
Pump.
More college football. Should this be a reason that you support something that's not great? And which door would you choose? We'll get to that coming up next. All right, welcome back in. Beautiful little Friday morning out there. Dirt and Sprague here, your Sunrise guys. Live here in the Rose City. We got a Sprague and Line Friday we'll get to coming up at 9:30. 503-864-6326. The sponsors can be text in there. And then at 8:15, so coming up in the third hour, just around the corner, Jeff Howe, a national NFL writer, get his thoughts on the great games ahead for this weekend, including the Monday night game, and the impact of the traded guys and how he kind of stacks up the AFC. A lot to talk about with Jeff Howe at 8:15. I don't think I'm going to get to Josh Pate here on Oregon State. I've seen this, and a coach puts this out, and it's a coach, and so you're like, yeah, well, that's not surprising. I've kind of seen this little build-up push where people are really trying to get Oregon State fans to come down for this game. Their attendance has been just absolutely dog-ass this season.
Yeah, I can't blame anybody for not wanting to go right now.
And it's only basically gotten worse.
It's a night game this weekend, too, so it's a Saturday night game. Weather should be okay, but that
it's
going to
be cold.
It'll be cold.
It's a night game. Sam Houston is winless, and they're not good.
No.
But the push is for senior night, and it's interesting to think about this. I hadn't certainly really considered it. These don't really mean much to me. I'm not around the programs as much. I don't get to know these players. There's some seniors on this team. Skylar Thomas is one of them, one of their secondary guys. He was somebody that people were wondering, are you going to stay for the entire time? And he did. He stuck it out. And it's those kinds of guys going into the weekend that I wonder, like, is that something that gets fans to say, all right, my team sucks, but they'll win this game. Shouldn't really be a close contest, and we get to, like, give those seniors a standing ovation. I certainly am not a fool. I don't think that stadium's going to be packed by any measure, but
no.
I just wonder if things like that can reach you emotionally, of, like, paying respect to guys who gave four or five seasons to a program, even though the team sucks.
I mean, especially in this current climate, right? Like, these guys who stuck it out the last 4 years, if you've been around for a while, you've gone through a lot. You've had a head coach leave. You've had a conference crumble around you. It's not like it's just been, hey, we were in the Pac-12 all 4 years. The Pac-12 was normal. We just happened to lose a lot of games, and I stuck around. You've lost a conference, and you've lost a coach, and then another coach has gotten fired. And so it's been a very rocky ride. I would hope that it would. I also am at the point where I can't blame or criticize any fan for not wanting to go to these games. And my bigger beef has been with the university, and I'm sure they've done some things to make them more affordable, or you can go find tickets on the secondary market that are incredibly cheap for this game, because I'm sure there's some season ticket holders that don't want to go, or people that bought tickets earlier in the year. I just, how do you not, for a game like this, where all these players have gone through, like, hey, man, if you're a kid under the age of 10, you get in for free. Show us your ID. You're 9 years old. Here's a ticket. Where do you want to sit? Because the thing's not going to be a sellout. We know it's not going to be a sellout. It'll maybe be 60% full at most. That would be generous for a 7 o'clock kick against Sam Houston State. Those are the kind of things that drive me nuts, especially at this point in the year. It's a very weird circumstance having, like you mentioned that earlier this week, and I kind of did a double take at you of like, wait a minute, it's their senior night?
Yeah.
It's the first weekend of November. What are you talking about?
Finishing the season on the road.
Whoa, okay, yeah, you got two road games and a buyout for this, and this is already your 10th game, so mm-hmm. I guess it makes sense. So it's kind of weird to have the senior night so early on, because we usually think around Thanksgiving for that, for your last home game. It's on the university should be doing more to pack butts in the seats and just give them away. Come down. Here's 20 tickets. If you're who wants to come, go drop them off at a Boys and Girls Club in Corvallis. Any kid that wants to wear a Beaver shirt to the game gets in free. Get creative. Put butts in the seats.
I know kids are moving around school to school and going where the money is or wherever they're wanted, or they're just getting out of situations they're not playing. I think all of that part of the world of that sport is very bizarre. So, like, Van Wells is one of these seniors for Oregon State.
How many guys do they have that stuck around all 4 years? That's a hard one to answer probably off the top of your head.
Trent Walker.
Walker, yeah. But he's not a senior, is he?
I believe this is it for him.
Is it it for him?
I believe I read that.
It is it for him. Yeah. He's a senior, yeah.
Skylar Thomas. But, like, Van Wells is somebody, he's been there for a couple seasons, but he's a transfer. Like, that's,
right.
Do you not feel a little bizarre? Like, did Oregon do anything for Dylan Gabriel last year?
They did. I mean, they had a senior night for him.
See, like, those are the weird
every
ones
every senior
for
gets
me,
one, and he like, actually had two, because I think he had a senior night at Oklahoma.
Like, he's been there for 10 years. He was in college. But, yeah. Like, that's the weird thing about that sport now is just, like,
it's different. It for sure
kids go to a school for a season, so they're really only there for a couple months. They're not, like, that emotionally invested in an institution and friends-wise, and yet we're like, here's flowers, and we're celebrating it. I have no problem celebrating players, but I do find the transfer part of the senior day experience, Van Wells a little different. I think a couple seasons, cool. Like Bo Nix getting one for being there for a couple years. It's the one and done. It's the kids who come in for the one season. It's like, thank you so much.
Thank you for all your hard work and the one class that you took. And now you're leaving a week after the season's over.
The Chad Ochocinco's of the world.
And come on down, man. How did you enjoy your 79 days in Corvallis? Was it entertaining? Yeah. Did you have a good time down here? All right. See you later. You're never coming back.
Kevin Durant, what did you major at Texas? Ah, ladies, man. Yeah. The ladies.
Smoked a lot of weed and played some basketball. A couple of games of pool. We're good, dude.
We asked Josh Pate about Oregon State. We don't largely get into Oregon State stuff. Again, they've not been good whatsoever this year. Gave an interesting answer to something that I want to talk about on the other side as, more and more has picked up as the week has gone on. We'll get to that. We'll get into some of the other college football games. The Big 12 with maybe the game of the weekend with BYU and Texas Tech. Jeff Howe at 8:15, so we'll dive back into the National Football League. It's a Sprague and Line Friday. We're back with more 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Happy
mid-burrito bite.
How's a burrito there?
What?
Oh, it's awful tasty. What are you talking about?
Happy retirement to Nancy Pelosi. Good luck stock trading now, lady.
She'll get the inside tip still.
You're right. She's got friends.
She knows she's got friends in high places.
You don't get to that level of power in your career without knowing some people.
The contacts are still there.
I don't know if the stat is accurate, but I saw somebody suggest that she was 559% above the S&P index.
It's pretty good, man. She's a hell of a gambler. What is she like in the NFL this weekend? I could use some tips. Anybody got any insider trading for me?
Look, they don't discriminate no matter what your tax bracket, but somebody not as dependent on the retirement situation as us with Trajan, Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, she could be all right.
I think she got that one figured out.
She'd be doing just fine years down the road.
So Oregon State, right? We'll see what they do against Sam Houston. I think tend to believe they're going to win the game, and they'll win three in a row, and look at that, Red Hot Beast. I think they could beat Tulsa, too. I don't think they'll beat the Cougs in Pullman.
I love how your coach, too, after the win, almost wanted to... I know he has a bit of a Cajun accent to begin with, the way he talked. It almost felt like he was doing an Orgeron impersonation on CBS. You know, back to change, bring up Gobies. Like, are you just trying?
He does have a little bit of like, I don't.
Where is he from?
Oh, that's a good question, because he's coached in the Pacific Northwest for a very long time.
That's what I thought. He sounded like a Cajun, and I'm like, is this guy?
I think he was at Idaho and Wazoo.
From Louisiana? Where's he from?
I think he was at Bama a little bit, so like maybe he picked it up down there.
He was born in Colorado Springs. Played at Weber State in Utah.
It wasn't quite Orgeron, but I did notice like he has a little bit of that, like he's trying to do the rah-rah, you know, was out there playing really good football. The Beavers.
He was an interim defensive line coach at Florida in 2017. That's the only time he's ever been in the South.
Okay, so there you go.
I got issues with this.
You got issues with Rob Akey?
I got beef with Rob Akey.
Okay,
I got beef.
Well, they're probably going to win. We asked Josh Pate yesterday. I just gave him scenarios because we're like, you're not going to ask Josh Pate about Oregon State football. They're 2-7.
No, we're not even talking about their football team right now.
Not really. There's nothing to talk about because the season's irrelevant because they need a new coach.
Yes.
But they may get a win this weekend. And one of the names that popped up, now it ended up being a fake account, but we already knew this name is in the running because he's got so many ties to the university.
Yes.
It's Paul Christ. And, you know, I know a lot of people really want Paul Christ. To me, and I told you this off the air, he's the safest hire. If you go Paul Christ, you're going safe hire. You want a guy that you think can win 6 to maybe 8 games, and you hope that that does it. I still have questions of why has he not been hired in 3 seasons. I think that's a little bizarre if he's such a good coach.
Yeah, I also don't know what he's been offered. You know, maybe there's an OC job that he's been offered and he didn't want to do it. He's, you know, could be Eddie from Christmas Vacation. He's holding out for a management position.
Well, but, and look, it's not that colleges don't hire bad coaches, but like, I guess my fault. I just have questions about Paul Christ that, like, it's not that he was bad at Wisconsin, but if he was so good, why is nobody coveted him?
I totally get it, man.
Well, we asked Josh Pate. I gave him 3-door scenarios.
Yes, you did.
I gave him the Orgeron State scenario. I gave him Paul Christ door number 2. And then I did a mystery door 3. That's an up-and-coming guy, a coordinator, a coach at a lower level, or a school that's quote-unquote smaller than even Oregon State.
A Brennan Marion, a Brent Vegan, one of these kind of guys.
Yeah, one of those guys. So door number 3 is a little bit of a mystery box, and here's where Josh Pate went with that.
Okay, well, I just assumed that behind door 3 is the next Signetti, but 30 years younger. So I'm always going door 3. But I am very fascinated what would happen behind door 1. Door 2 doesn't do much for me, no offense. So give me 3, give me 1, give me 2 in that order. It sounds like a snap cadence.
Okay.
Ready, break.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I'm shocked to hear him say he'd be interested in one, but he didn't even say for the good reasons.
No, I think it's more from an entertainment, exactly what we've said. It's going to bring some juice back to your team. If you hire Ed Orgeron, you'll get national attention and interviews, and people will be talking about Oregon State football.
I'll give you a hot take. I don't think he's had one Oregon State-related segment once on his show all
year. He would
year.
Do one, yeah.
That would be one if he you hired exist. Him. And that's not how you make a hire.
No.
We could Josh Pate talk about us.
Because if you hire a coach that wins, he'll talk about you, and people will talk about you, and that's the ultimate end-all, be-all.
But Christ is a little polarizing, I've noticed, throughout the Oregon State fan base, and yet somebody who follows the sport closely and loves it, very dismissive of the idea of just like, yeah, it doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah.
I tend to kind of be in there as well. I don't care that a guy leaves. You are Oregon State. I don't think you live in a world where it's realistic to expect somebody to be there their whole life. So I don't want to hire out of fear. I want to hire the best coach possible. And maybe that will be Paul Christ. But where are you at on like just directionally what makes sense with them right now?
Well, it's funny because you just had the coach who wasn't going to leave and you fired him. It was very similar to when Oregon had Mark Helfrich, and he was the guy that was never going to leave for another job. He's a Southern Oregon guy. It's in his DNA. Grew up like he was never taking another job. But we fired him because he wasn't very good. And that's exactly what you guys did with Trent Bray. And it took us three swings. Well, I guess two. Cristobal wasn't terrible. But the Taggart thing blew up in their face after 1 year. And then it was Cristobal and then it was Lanning. And so I tend to agree with you that you never make this decision based off of the fear of will he leave us? Because if a coach is going to leave you, it is more than likely that he has left your program in a better spot. Now, the rules are different because guys can take players with them in the portal. And that changes the dynamic a little bit that a coach can't just leave and then you're left with the team. Let's go hire a coach that can win with his guys. That's not the way that it works anymore. But I the Paul Chris thing, I totally get. I'm just not somebody, and I try and do this with quarterbacks going to the NFL and coaching hires. Like, none of us at the end of the day have any idea. Paul Chris might win 9 games next year as the head coach at Oregon State. For all I know, I have no clue how he's going to do, how he would harness the NIL landscape, how he would be in the portal, what kind of connections he has, what kind of staff he could put together. I have no idea. But if I were an Oregon State fan, I would tend to agree with that. I would be much more interested in taking either the swing on a guy who's going to generate buzz and attention around your program and ticket sales and kind of get some momentum going, whether that means anything on the field or not, and at Orgeron, or if I'm just thinking, you know what, X's and O's are the most important, who cares about winning the press conference and winning the headline, we need to win football games, I'm going to go hire the up-and-coming guy before I would hire Paul Chris. Because I just think the game is a lot. If this was 2017 and you're in this scenario, I'd probably be more willing to give Chris the benefit of the doubt. But now, just with the landscape and the NIL budgets being so important and transfer portal stuff, how does he fit into that landscape as an older guy? I don't know the answer.
Well, he's
to
not
that.
As old, but yeah, to your point, like he's going to be 60. Like, I think that's the tough thing for me to gauge is like Chris has an established track record. His winning percentage is over 600.
It's good, yeah.
Yes. But the difference between now and when he was let go by Wisconsin and not having been a head coach since. It's not that he hasn't followed it or knows what's happening. It's just like, that's a lot. That's a lot of change.
A lot has changed in 3 years.
And as confident as some Beaver fans or media might be about Paul Chryst, and very well, again, could prove to be the right hire for them at this point.
And he's a guy who, because of his age, he's probably not taking another job. I'd be surprised if he did. That's another
sign
of
it. Yeah. That doesn't always mean it's a good thing.
No, it does not.
To your point, they had the lifelong guy, and he didn't work out whatsoever. But at least Chryst has had some success as a head coach, whereas Bray came in, that was his first gig, and that was a tough thing. I don't know if a no-name candidate or coach at a different school right now would be successful. I think that's tough to answer and almost impossible. But again, you cannot be paralyzed by the unknown versus you think you know, but a guy could prove that maybe he isn't able to coach in this landscape anymore. And I think that's the tough thing is the amount of confidence people have in Chryst is by resume, and it's not by absolutely knowing within 3 years if it's gotten worse, if it's staying the same, if maybe in some ways he got better. Whereas, like, the unknown is also scary and impossible to answer.
Yeah, and he's a guy who had multiple stints in Corvallis, so I think there's familiarity there. That's part of it.
That's the big tie with him.
He's clearly he's interested in the job.
He wanted the gig when they lost Smith.
And that would be, I've seen some Beaver fans say that. That would be my main criticism of, like, if you're going to hire Paul Chryst right now, why didn't you just hire him last time?
Because he listened to the players and read Twitter.
I know. He was available.
I honestly think that's what happened.
Would Bray have stuck around as your DC? Maybe. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that was willing to or just, you know, interested in bolting right away. Maybe he does. I don't know the answer to that. But, like, he was interested in the job a year and a half ago. You could have hired him.
Yeah, I think Bray at that point, though, had, like, been successful enough as the DC of a top 10 team that he's like, I want this or I'm going to Michigan State. Because why would I stay here to be a DC when I can be a DC in the Big Ten?
Sure. And you could have said, I got a known commodity who had just won a lot of games, was in a Rose Bowl like 3 years ago, or a guy who's never been head coach before. I'm going to lean on the guy who's done it and knows what he's doing. Mm. Let's stabilize things a little bit instead of going into the unknown. And now you're completely into the unknown.
It's certainly interesting, man. And I everybody's going to have a differing opinion on this. I tend to just take a swing.
I tend to agree with you.
But Paul Chryst might be their safest choice in a moment where they need stability and they might need to win ASAP so they get people more invested in the program.
I'm not going to overly be critical of whatever they end up doing as long as they don't hire Rob Ackey full term or Ackey full term. That would be a disaster.
What if they gave it back to Mike Riley?
What the hell, dude? Why not?
Really?
Yeah. All right.
I'd have some
wait to see Jonathan Smith. If he gets turf, you want to bring him back? Like, I get the emotion side of that. It's not great for Beaver fan, but I'm not, none of us know how these hires will work out. Nobody talked about Kurt Cignetti when he was hired from James Madison to Indiana, so nobody ultimately has any clue. Just don't make the interim guy the head coach.
One person tweeted us, what about Pat Fitzgerald?
I'd be all about it, dude. Pat Fitzgerald is a great coach.
Yeah.
No. Without a doubt. No. Even what's the old Cougar coach, the COVID guy?
Rolovich. He's in the running.
Hire Rolovich. I'd be fine with that. He's a great offensive mind.
We'll see where they go. Just kind of a follow-up conversation on the Oregon State coaching search. Loaded third hour of the program. Jeff Howe will join us for the ticker. Dirt and Sprague Hour 3, 105.1 The Fan on a Football Friday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.